up everybody, no more sleeping in bed, no more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach them.
Oh, wake them up. Get them up, get them going on Thursday on B&E. That is right, that means buck offs and buck ons on this Thursday. You decide. The show of the people, audience, who needs a pat on the back, who needs a kick in the rear. We will certainly provide some as well as we get you going on this Thursday with a lot to talk about. Big conversations, World Series Game 2 last night. It's even at a game apiece now between the Rays and Dodgers in the Fall Classic. Also plenty of football. The NFL takes Week 7 opens tonight with, oh man, a battle in the NFC East that we'll talk about. Look forward to the Week 7 slate for Sunday, and certainly college football as well. A lot to dive into. The Eyes of Texas controversy surrounding the University of Texas and the school song continues to unfold. Get you the very latest on that situation. New developments yesterday and a statement last night from the president of the University of Texas. So we'll certainly go full force into that conversation as well. But a lot to do. We'll have some fun as well as we get you going on what's going to be another muggy, warm, maybe put even a chance of drizzle today in Austin, Texas. We get you going on this Thursday, the 22nd. How are you, Mr. Godbolt?
Doing well, doing well. Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for what you do. It is appreciated. And to all out there, to keep on battling, keep doing what you need to do to stay safe out there, because there are some things that are on the rise. So let's all get back to being careful. Let's not just mistake that this has all gone away. Getting ready to start to get into the winter months. And for those that need that flu shot, get it. For those that haven't got it, like myself, well, I'm going to do everything I can to just stay safe. So
we all should.
I've made that decision. I'm not going to do it.
Stay safe, be smart as we get you rolling on a Thursday. And appreciate you being there. Early bird always gets the worm. Hope you can ride with us all morning long, all day long here on The Horn, live and local on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, streaming always on the Horn app, your smart speaker. HornFM.com. We've got so many ways for you to find us. Appreciate you doing so. Tell a friend and spread the word live and local here on B&E and the show of the people all morning. And then the Horn all day today and into tonight with Longhorn Weekly, Tom Herman's weekly coaches show. We'll talk Texas and Baylor. Hear from Dave Aranda. You know, it's interesting. This is one of the subplots of Texas Baylor for Saturday. Dave Aranda and Tom Herman, college teammates. That's not a breaking news story. They've been good friends for a long, long time. But we'll hear from Dave Aranda coming up, head coach at Baylor, of his memories of Tom Herman as a wide receiver at Cal Lutheran College down in Southern California when they were coming up and learning the game of football. That's one of the interesting subplots. Obviously, Baylor finally getting back on the football field after, you know, three different games of theirs have been postponed and canceled this year by COVID-19 and the issues there. Just got back and got back to practicing Sunday. And Buck Dave Aranda said on Monday that he thinks by Wednesday, by yesterday, they will be back to full roster without any issues as far as positive players or coaches.
Yeah, that's good for that team. That team needs to play some football games. And for Texas, we'll find out the physicality of this football game. Are they going to be ready? Is Baylor going to be ready physically? That's the thing for me. If Texas lets them out physical and after not playing but only two games, that's going to be very interesting to see.
No question, no question. So we'll get into all that. We'll get into the rest of the Big 12, the rest of the college football slate. Let's get your trending topics, headlines on this Thursday morning. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK brings you the headlines. Believe in the scene. Start with baseball last night, World Series Game 2. Tampa evens the Fall Classic at a game apiece, 6-4 final. Struggling Rays second baseman Brandon Lau hit a pair of home runs. Got that bat going. Solo shot in the first inning. Two-run blast in the fourth helped Tampa build a 5-0 lead. Rays starter Blake Snell was really good. Didn't allow a hit into the fifth inning. That's when Chris Taylor drilled a two-run homer to make it 5-2. Corey Seager, Will Smith hit solo shots for LA to make it close, but four Tampa relievers closed out the game to win Game 3 tomorrow night in Arlington. They'll take a night off tonight. Game 4, 3, Friday night, Walker Buehler facing Charlie Morton. The controversy surrounding the University of Texas school song continued to unfold yesterday. The Eyes of Texas, of course, Longhorn football team's response to the song has created tension within the athletic department in recent weeks. Yesterday, school's campus newspaper, the Daily Texan, reported the Texas band won't play the song this coming Saturday, will not attend the Longhorn home game against the Bears. In a statement released last night, University President Jay Hartzell said the Eyes of Texas will be played this weekend as it has been throughout the season and will continue to be played at future games and events. While we would love to have the band with us and our fans for our games, we had never planned for them to perform live this Saturday. We knew this summer that as we make our campus a more welcoming place, we would face many hard conversations. I remain truly optimistic that we find ways to join together around our song, which has been so positive for so many Longhorns over the past 120 years. College basketball, all 10 matchups for this year's Big 12 SEC Challenge announced yesterday, and one of the feature games has Shaka Smart and the Longhorns traveling to Rupp Arena in Lexington for a showdown with Big Blue, Kentucky. Longhorns and Wildcats will meet January 30th as a part of that challenge across both conferences. It will mark just the third matchup all time between the two schools. Last one came in 2014. Other intriguing Big 12 SEC Challenge matchups include Auburn at Baylor. Kansas will be at Rick Barnes in Tennessee. How about Texas A&M at Kansas State? Texas Tech is at LSU. Again, all those games from the final Saturday of the month of January. Elsewhere in college hoops, Penn State's men's basketball coach Pat Chambers resigned last night following an investigation into, quote, allegations of inappropriate conduct. His assistant coach Jim Ferry will serve as the interim coach. And NFL Week 7 opens tonight. NFC least matchup. Longstanding rivals, the New York Giants, 1-6, travel to Philadelphia to face the Eagles, 1-4-1.
This segment brought to you by Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, now offering all laser LASIK starting at $495 per eye. Sharp Vision Modern LASIK, believing is seeing.
Oh.
What happened?
Just trying to stretch out.
You right over there?
There's some creaks. I just made a quick move and I heard a couple of little creaks going on. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Any chance you're watching this NFL football game tonight? I mean, every time I see this game call on the schedule or think about it, I think of that movie Silver Linings Playbook. Remember this one?
Sure.
With your guy Bradley Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And
Robert De Niro.
And you know the Giants and Eagles are rivals, but that the fights in the parking lot, I go immediately to that movie because you know that it's only a couple hours from Philadelphia up to New York City.
Just and, right down the road
and,
now.
Arch rivals. So there's some sizzle to that. There's Joe Judge, who's the head coach of the New York Giants, who's from that area in Philadelphia, and he says he's going to have to wear a helmet because his relatives are bringing the batteries,
mm-hmm.
which is a pretty good joke that he told. So there's that. I mean, but it's Carson Wentz. There's Daniel Jones. Someone's got to win this game. We've talked a lot about how bad the division is. The Cowboys are in first place in that division. But, this is your NFL.
Yeah, the winner will come out on top. We'll be tied.
Someone's going to win it, I think.
Yeah.
Unless the Eagles pull another tie like they had with the Bengals earlier this year.
I don't want to see that. I'm going to watch early, but then after that, that'll be enough for me probably.
Yeah.
I just want to see how Carson Wentz continues. I mean, will he perk up? Will that offense of the Philadelphia Eagles perk up? Can they get their running game going with Sanders? I think that'll be important to watch. They're not as banged up as they were last year. They're just not as good, and the Giants are the Giants. Without Saquon Barkley, I don't know. You're just watching Daniel Jones. And you're also watching this defense of the Giants get a little bit better from week to week.
Yeah, that's kind of, if you're a Giants fan, you're watching for the improvement under a coach that I was really impressed, or at least listening, when the Cowboys played the Giants. And, that game will forever be known as the Dak Prescott broke his ankle game.
Mm-hmm.
But Tony Romo and Jim Nantz called it, and Romo was just effusive in his praise of Joe Judge. They spent a lot of time around those coaches during the week
right.
leading up to the game. And, Romo has a pretty keen eye for that kind of stuff and was really impressed with the job Joe Judge was doing in preparing his team. But, yeah, they've got issues. Now, the Eagles, when you say they're not as banged up, they really are. Alshon Jeffries is still out. Jalen Reagor, their first-round draft pick out of TCU, hadn't played a game yet. He's been out with a wrist injury.
Is Sanders not back, though? Is he not
Miles
back
Sanders,
to playing?
Miles Sanders got hurt in the game against Baltimore. He's got an ankle. I think he's questionable for tonight. He's their lead running back. So, they
okay, well, there's three weapons right there.
Yeah, and Eagles fans are mad at the Eagles organization for not putting in more weapons around Carson Wentz. Zach Ertz is hurt, too, the tight end. They're already without
the other tight end,
the
yes.
other tight end got hurt. I mean, they are pretty banged up, and that's back-to-back years now. The Eagles have, suffered big injuries. Now, I watched a lot of their game with Baltimore last week. Baltimore got out to a lead with Lamar Jackson, But the Eagles came all the way back, and, yep, you know, they were a two-point conversion from tying that game at 30, and they lost 30-28. But Eagles had a chance to force overtime in that game, or at least, you know, make the Ravens sweat. So I do think they're the better side here, but that'll be your Thursday night special. Eagles, Giants. If you're a Cowboys fan, you're watching, but Cowboys got their own issues. We know that up in Big D Dallas with Mike McCarthy and all this going on there. What a mess that whole thing is. But that's the thing, right? Someone's gonna win that division. Somebody's going to make the playoffs out of that division. Maybe 6-10. And maybe that tie that the Eagles posted ends up being the difference maker, that they go, you know, that extra half of a point gets them in. But it certainly has not been quality football.
Well,
so
it's
far.
Not quality football to watch tonight. I'll say
no,
that.
No, I would
it's
agree.
It's just, it's football.
And there's no World Series game tonight. This is the first off. I mean, they go back to the League Championship Series. Both went 7 games. There was not an off day. It went straight through in both sides with the Astros and Rays and Dodgers and Braves. Off day tonight. No Thursday night game. They'll play tomorrow night.
This is a great night to get some rest because this is going to be a packed weekend.
It is a packed weekend.
Big Ten is back. There's a lot. There's some really interesting NFL games that are going on. You know, we'll have golf is starting to heat up, getting closer and closer to the Masters. Phil Mickelson is talking about not playing in Houston. He's worried with the fans. He said that's pretty risky before going to the he doesn't want anything to happen before he gets to Augusta. That's just the way those guys are. But this is generally will be his warm-up in Houston. And he's saying, I don't know. I mean, he hasn't made a decision. He's on the verge of possibly saying no to Houston, and he loves going to Houston. By the way, Phil Mickelson loves playing in Houston before the Masters, and this one bothers him a little bit, and there's a reason to be.
Well, it's interesting when they get to Houston. This week's the Zozo Championship on the PGA Tour. Is that right? Down in California?
Yeah, I think this is one Tiger versus the Corn Ferry Tour or something like that. Yeah. Those are the guys that will be playing.
But then, you know, they'll be in Houston the following week, I believe, if I got the schedule right or close to that. And the Houston's moving the tournament downtown. You know, for years they played out in the Woodlands for the Shell Houston Open and then moved to Kingwood, mm-hmm, the Kingwood area at Atascocita. But Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros, helped to refurbish Memorial Park downtown in Houston, and that's where they're going to bring the PGA Tour back to, in downtown.
So it's supposed to be beautiful now that they've got that.
My dad plays that course quite a bit when he gets to get out and go down and play, and he loved it before, mm-hmm, the redesign, and he's
really
been played it since and said it's great. They did a great job to make it a PGA-level course right there near the medical center in downtown Houston. So that's where they'll go on the golf tour. So golf, basketball, baseball, football, and yes, the Longhorns will play Baylor on Saturday. And the news broke yesterday, the Longhorn band won't be there. They weren't even supposed to be there.
No.
But now they're not going to be there because, as we know, members of the Longhorn band are refusing to play the Texas school song, which continues to be a prickly issue on the 40 acres, safe to say.
Yeah, but they weren't going to be there anyway.
No. And Jay Hartzell, the president, made that clear last night in his statement that, hey, we knew that we weren't planning on them being there anyhow.
Right.
That's been part of the deal. It's an ongoing issue. It is a thorny issue for sure for Texas. This is the school's alma mater, and certainly Longhorn athletics and students aren't fans of it, and now Longhorn band members refusing to play it, which becomes an issue big picture for Jay Hartzell and the leadership at Texas.
I don't know if it's an issue or not. They always have tape. They always have music. They can plug it in and play it.
Well, I mean,
the band members don't want to play. That's their prerogative, and just plug it into the stadium and go. Right?
Well, for this weekend, yes. But I'm talking about big picture, long term. Mm-hmm. You know, if the band won't play your school song, that becomes a problem. You know, long term, I think there's an issue that they've got to resolve and figure out what the answer is, because there's not an easy one. I don't believe just to, you know. Some would say, well, kick in. If they don't want to play the song, they can't be in the band. Well, that presents an issue. It's the same mindset that says, you know, if Tom Herman's got players that don't want to stay for the Eyes of Texas, then tell them to get gone. Well, the next group you're recruiting are in line with those folks, the way they think and the way they see things. And so,
nobody has an answer. And we sit here for the remainder of the week and talking about it, and still nobody has an answer. What are they going to do? What do you do?
Well, there's been talk of coming up with a new song that makes people happy. I don't have a good answer for it. You have to see all sides, but obviously it's a big issue for Longhorn Athletics and a bigger issue for Jay Hartzell at the president level, who has just taken over the reins of that situation.
Well, we know what the president wants. That's pretty simple. He wants that song played. That song is going to continue to be played. That's his deal. He told everybody that before. That was never By the way, that was never on the table, as I said before, but that, what are you going to do? So he's got to, they all have to make a decision on which way they're going to turn, and I don't think that's going to get settled anytime soon. And if the song has to be played and he wants it as the president wants it to be played, he's going to have to get the tape out and play it, right?
It's the way it appears.
Yeah.
It is the way it appears, as the Longhorn Band issue is certainly there now. And Daily Texan had the story yesterday, and the person in charge of the band at the University of Texas, Scott Hanna, told members of the band that they don't have the necessary instrumentation to be able to play the band, to play the song, because so many of the musicians refused to play the song that they couldn't play it if they were asked to play it, as far as that goes. So mm-hmm. That's where that stands. Longhorns dealing with it, too, on the football side. It certainly is becoming a fracturing issue on the campus. I think that's safe to say, and will continue to be, between alumni, current students who are demanding the change and pushing for the change. And I think that's fair, important to say. This isn't just band members and football players. This all began student-led, and some faculty on the campus. And you know, it's a bigger thing than just Longhorn Athletics, that's for sure. It's a great big school, right? 50,000 plus students, and students have driven this conversation to where it is today. So we'll certainly follow it, but Longhorn Band will not be at the game on Saturday. They will play the Eyes of Texas before and after the game, though.
Right.
And they will play at 2:30, and we will carry the game right here on the horn, of course. But we'll take your thoughts on that. Buck-ons and buck-offs at 337-3776. It is the way we do it on a Thursday, and have for a long, long time. Who needs a pat on the back? Who deserves a kick in the rear? I would say, I'm not sure where I'm at on this. We talked about the NFL through six weeks, and here comes Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is going to be available and come off of his 8-game league suspension after week 8. And there's reporting now that the Seattle Seahawks, the 5-0 Seattle Seahawks, some think they're the best team in the league. I would disagree based on their defense, but they are 5-0, and that they are angling to bring in Antonio Brown. Apparently, Russell Wilson and Geno Smith, their quarterbacks, work out with Antonio Brown in the offseason. They're friendly and have advised the Seahawks brass that, hey, this might be a good move for us to pair with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett mm-hmm. and give Russell Wilson another weapon. Where are you on this, Coach? That's a dangerous...
I wouldn't be on anything. That guy wouldn't be on my team. That's not even hard for me. That's a find me somebody else. That's what I'd be saying. I'm sorry, Russell, but I know you're a great player, but we can't do that as a team. We're not going to... That's a chance I would not take in football. I wouldn't take it. I would say we are where we are because we've been a really united team all through this. We don't have great defense, but guess what? We find ways to win.
Yeah, chemistry is good on that team.
I'm not going to take that chance. I'm just not going to take that chance. I wouldn't take that chance with my team.
Well, he's been such a cancerous figure, even in Pittsburgh, right? On his way out of Pittsburgh, he became a major distraction for the Steelers. Obviously, the Raiders thing was a mess.
Somebody will do it, but I just wouldn't be... I would rather take my chances elsewhere.
You would argue that a team like Seattle with a lot of veteran leadership and seemingly, a head coach like Pete Carroll, that's a place where maybe Antonio Brown can thrive, where there's solid leadership and it's not, there's no weakness. It doesn't appear leadership-wise in that locker room. The defense is weak, but they're strongly. Bobby Wagner on defense kind of patrols that side of the ball. Russell Wilson on the offensive side. But, and look, DK Metcalf's a young player, and Tyler Lockett's, you could argue that, Antonio Brown could be the missing piece for that offense to go from good to great. But at the same time, the risk of bringing someone like that in that can upset the issue.
Especially with a guy like DK Metcalf that, puts the ball up at the 2-yard line and the 5-yard line going in. He doesn't need that. That's not the example he needs around him right now. And do people change? Yeah, people change. But that guy ain't changing. That guy hadn't changed over and over and over. Once he doesn't get his way, things will turn sour, and he'll sour the entire team. And that's... I just don't think that's worth it, man. That's not...
Well, I mean, it's not too dissimilar to the Le'Veon Bell story we talked about. He ends up in Kansas City, another place with great leadership, great head coach. You kind of... And it's going to be a low-dollar thing. It's kind of one of those low-risk in that if it's not going well, you can cut him loose and you don't lose anything. You don't have to give up anything to get him. Not going to have to pay him a lot.
Through one day with that guy in my locker room is enough for me.
I know. I mean,
there's malcontents, and then there's cancer and poison. That dude is poison.
Yeah, that, and so the Le'Veon, I don't know, that, I mean, Le'Veon Bell just got himself to a toxic situation with the Jets, and really no one wants to be with the Jets right now. Woody Johnson's a bad owner. Adam Gase is a weak coach. They've got, I mean, they're just a mess everywhere. And, you know, I think Le'Veon Bell got caught up in that. He knew, we know he was looking for his payday, but I don't think anybody blames a player for trying to maximize his value while he's playing football, right? It's a short window. You have a short shelf life, especially as a running back. And, you know, I disagree with Le'Veon Bell sitting out the season he did in Pittsburgh, but you know, that was his call. So he's trying to maximize his money. I get that. And the Jets were a bad choice. And he says now when he signed with the Chiefs that, you know, that was his second choice in the first place, that he was going to go to Kansas City and chose the Jets. And he said, I'm not making that mistake again. If I get a chance to now go play with Andy Reid in Kansas City, I'm going. So he'll go there. But your point about Antonio Brown, different animal, right?
I mean,
Pittsburgh had great leadership.
One's a narcissist. That's the one that played the Jets. And that dude's a narcissist. The other guy is just poison. It's not worth it.
Well,
right?
I don't know if Le'Veon Bell's a narcissist. I know he wanted his money.
Oh, he loves him some, yeah.
Well, but egos are a big part of that league.
Sure.
And those guys want to get their money. That was more of a financial situation for Bell. Antonio Brown is a mess, right? I mean, there's argument, does he even want to play football? Since he got hit by in that Bengals game and nearly decapitated in that big Bengals AFC North game. What's the guy's name? The dirty linebacker that played for them now with the Raiders. But Vontaze Burfict.
Perfect.
Remember, he almost killed the man. I mean, it was one of the most vicious, you know, his neck, I mean, it was a brutal hit. And, you know, some would argue that have followed that story closely that ever since that hit, that's when this spiraling out of control Antonio.
I don't think any of us would be the same.
Yeah. And, you know, the question then arises, does he want to play football? Does he create distractions to not play? It almost feels like he wants to get paid and make money, but he doesn't really want to participate, which leads to the issues.
Yeah, there's too much going on with that guy that can bring him to the team. You can find somebody that's really, really good and it's going to be a contributor to your team. That guy is a distraction. And Seattle doesn't need any distractions. They don't have good enough defense right now. They've got great coaching. They have Russell Wilson. Why would you bring that distraction in? You know, I mean, I love Tyler Lockett. I think the young guy is going to be a great player. Just find somebody in between. You know, but they need defense anyway, by the way. They got enough offense with Russell Wilson and the gang. They need defenders, right? And they're going to get some of their defenders back.
Well, and that's another side of that is trade deadlines in 2 weeks or inside 2 weeks now. You wonder if the Seahawks are looking to make a move to bolster their defense. They will get Jamal Adams back at some point from his growing injury, and that'll be a big boost to that D, which has been pretty wretched so far. All right, so thoughts on those top stories. World Series Game 2 in the books, Game 3 tomorrow night. You've got the NFL cranking up for Week 7, got the Eyes of Texas issue continuing to be a boiler pot topic at the University of Texas, big picture. Battle between alumni and current students for sure, and that situation with Antonio Brown. We'll get to all of it. Buck ons and buck offs. It is 22 October. A lot of conversations to be had. Just getting warmed up. Table set, though, right there. We'll roll forward. It's B&E on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn App and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you on a Thursday. Buck ons and buck offs. On this 22nd of October, it's going to be another muggy, warm one today. Highs in the 80s. Cool front coming in tomorrow, though. Drop some temperatures, which will be nice into your Friday. And I saw where next week you're going to really drop temperatures.
Yeah.
It'll be a real cool front for the final week of October leading into Halloween. So get into that. You know, it was this day, Buck, 8 years ago, Lance Armstrong stripped of all seven of his Tour de France titles. All seven on this day.
One of the biggest scams ever.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
ever.
Yeah. We lived through it and watched it, and we're in the middle of that fishbowl with Lance Armstrong, and it's hard to believe that's 8 years ago now, but time has flown. We also have this, which I think I know where you are on this, but recent survey, Buck, suggests that 25% of people say they've already finished their holiday shopping for the year. A quarter of people surveyed. Meanwhile, 50%, nearly 50% say they haven't even started. You know where I'm at. I'm in the 50% that hasn't even, not only have I not started, I haven't thought about it.
Yeah, I get done before Thanksgiving.
And so you're knee-deep in this thing, your holiday shopping?
Yeah, well, I just go, you know, odds and ends and picking up stuff. I mean, shopping is just about grandkids now. That's
ooh. Did you ever purchase something for one of your kids or grandkids and then forget to give it to them? Because I would.
I've done that before.
Like you get it.
And I found it.
If I would get it that early, I'd almost forget.
I forgot. I'd left something.
Where'd I put it?
In closets. I know my kids loved it because I would leave one of those big old thick sweaters for the girls so that he wouldn't show in certain sections of their anatomy. And I would forget and say, here you go. And they'd go, yeah, thanks. That'll never see my body.
Yeah.
I've done that before. But yeah, now it's all about grandkids. There's not much shopping between, man, you know, mom and dad. We just kind of.
He's built a house.
He's built a house. What shopping do you need? You don't have anything to shop for. You don't have any money to shop.
Exactly. Yeah, well, that's a process.
But I did get some good information, and thank you very much. I think I told you guys that I know I couldn't bring the chickens to the house for my granddaughter. My daughter said, Dad, don't, please. She was only three.
Thinking about this, that you asked if you could buy chickens for your granddaughter.
Because I've turned my daughter into a gardener. She's absolutely into gardening.
My thought on that would be, why didn't you just get the chickens, and then she can come help you take care of them?
No.
What do you mean?
I don't want any more chickens. I've done that. No. I don't want those chickens at my house.
Oh. Well, that would seem to be a reasonable, you know, middle ground. Like, if you want your daughter, your daughter doesn't want them.
Uh-huh.
Because she's got a three-year-old. That's enough.
And a new baby.
But you've got a lot of property out there. You've got a he shed. You got a man cave out there.
No chicken crap. No chicken poop bingo. None of that stuff out there.
Granddaughter truly to like learn about chickens and, you know, that's farming, ranching.
Hey, that's why she's got a mom and a dad.
Well, they're not getting her chickens. I can tell you that.
They're not getting me to get her chickens either. That's a no. She said, maybe when she's 5 or 6. Not at 3.
Maybe when she's 5 or 6.
Maybe. That was just a maybe.
I think that's something Grandpa should do. They call you Coach, correct?
Coach, yeah.
Do any of them call you Grandpa?
No, it's all Coach.
I like that.
What's up, Coach? It's kind of funny hearing that from a 3-year-old. Hi, Coach. That's it. But here's the thing I was thinking of. How about if I bought like 6 chickens and went to the gate and just let them loose out in their yard? That would be so great. I get hell for that. Would I get any hell for that? Not really, right? Great get, you know, nice little joke.
Yeah.
Guess what's in your yard?
Not
6
funny.
Not funny.
Funny. What is it? My mom always told me a joke is only funny if both people laugh.
My daughter wouldn't laugh. No. She's one of those real.
Can't be a joke then.
Yeah, she's real. She's one of those that don't leave the compound since March. You know what I mean? I'm not leaving the compound. Food's coming in. I'm not going out. So if I just dumped those chickens in her yard and just took off, that's got to be an all-time good one. That she'd remember forever, right?
It wouldn't be funny.
Come on, man. Have a sense of humor. You and my daughter have a little sense of humor.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't find that funny. I wouldn't know what the good. What do you do with them now? I don't want them. You want to put them at your house. Then let the baby come over and hang out with your chickens.
That's true. Okay. All right.
All right. So we've got a lot of thoughts coming in on the text line on the Eyes of Texas debate. This is about 9 months ago. UT fans were proudly and honored to be singing the Eyes of Texas with their horns up, band playing along, not giving it a second thought. Now people are offended by a school song. The Eyes is not racist. This says, not looking good for UT. The Eyes in that situation is all over the major networks now. That is true. And this says, simple solution. Keep the words of the song, but change the tune from working on the railroad to something else. And that could be they're going to have to find common ground on this, it does appear, because I don't think either side is going to back down on this conversation. But what is the road forward? Is what, you know, whatever the committee that the president put together to come up with some answers that won't be till January. I'm not sure what that answer is, but we'll certainly take it from you. Also, I got to give a buck off to the, can I give a buck off to the former Statesman photographer that is suing Bevo and the Bevo handlers for getting bumped by Bevo at the Sugar Bowl?
Guy got gouged in the back.
Oh, dude, watch the video. Go to the tape.
How'd he get that big old mark down the middle of his spinal cord?
Okay, he might have gotten grazed by the horn there, okay? But 25 G's worth? Come on. What is this, Thomas J. Henry now? What are we talking about
First
here?
Of all, they're paying a guy over there $6 million and a bunch of coaches over there millions.
No.
Billions and billions
but somehow,
and billions.
Look, clearly there's a separation because he would be suing the university, but he's not. He's suing the handlers of Bevo. And the owner of Bevo. They're not suing the school.
Yeah, sue the school, get you a little $25,000, take
care of your
medical.
I'm sure the school's lawyers have already said, you can't, we're not, that's not us. That is
so go after the next
different
group?
Entity.
Yeah.
I got to buck that guy off. Come on, man. Look, if you were you show me the records. Where's the medical report? I got to see.
Oh, they're going to have him. He's going to have medical.
That guy, after he was like a national sensation, everyone wanted to talk to him, and he's showing everybody, ooh, I got poked by Bevo. He's laughing with everybody. Come on, man. You're trying to cash in. Let's be fair about that.
Well, yeah, he is trying to catch.
Well, that's why
no
I'm bugging him off.
Is he
legitimately hurt? Like, legitimately hurt?
No, that guy went to work the next day.
Yes. Yes, and he worked
but
that
he
night.
But he has gone to see. Somebody says, dump those chickens. No, but he has gone. You know, he has gone for medical treatment. And, you know, you thought it was just a nudge. That horn hit him in the back.
Oh, it did. But he stayed there that night, took all the photos. You know, that was just
probably
the beginning
on
of
Bourbon
the game.
Street. You think he was down on Bourbon Street?
He went out to Bourbon Street.
Got hammered.
He slipped and fell.
Oh, maybe there's where he got hurt, on Bourbon Street.
I'm just saying.
After the bourbon.
I've watched the tape. I've watched the video. That is.
Yeah, the initial nudge by the nose was like, I thought that's what it was all about. I'm like, you're not suing him because that Bevo sniffed your chest.
He got a little end of that horn guy.
Okay, first of all, there's nothing little about the horn on a Bevo.
It's a big horn. You're right about that. And that's a big, strong, powerful animal. There's no question.
I've been out to ranch. I've seen that dude up close. I've seen him when he's moved his head. I was right there when he was a baby and gotten bigger. And the more he moved, the scarier it gets.
We should be suing Georgia. What the hell is Georgia bringing a bulldog over to mess with a bull or steer? What are you doing?
Yeah, how come he's not suing them for aggravation?
You know what a history of a bulldog is? What are bulldogs for? It's going to piss off the dang steer. There's no doubt about that. I mean, where do you think bulldogs got their name? Bulldogs.
Yeah. I don't know.
Who's in charge over there?
Does that guy still work for the Statesman?
No, still former photographer.
Oh, once the lawsuit came, you're fired.
Oh, I still think you should get chickens for your granddaughter, but keep them at your house. And then your wife would be really happy with you.
Buy chickens, Tavo Cantona. Don't leave Tavo out of this. Dump the chickens. That's the word. Just dump them and run.
Yeah, I have this question for you. Could Mike McCarthy get fired this year?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, Jerry Jones, at the end of the season, they end up winning, say, six games. If you can find six wins in there, I think he can fire that guy.
He can just admit it was a bad call?
Yeah, just admit it quickly. Don't let it linger for 4 years.
Because Jerry, it can't be about the roster he's built, right?
Hey, why let it linger around for 4 years?
That's what everybody said about Jason Garrett. Why did it take 10 years to figure out he's not a great coach? But I will say this for Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett, the one thing Jason Garrett knew when he got the job, and one of the reasons Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones loved him, is he had played for Jerry and been there when Jimmy Johnson was there. He had seen it. He understood it. He knew how to kind of be the bridge between the locker room and the owner's box, and he did it well. And whatever we thought of Jason Garrett, the players love the guy. The players played for Jason Garrett. Mike McCarthy doesn't have any clue on any of this stuff, and pretty clear already the players don't like him and don't like his coaching
staff.
Well,
he's a hard-nosed guy. He's really hard with the media, and the media looks at him like, dude, we're just asking a very simple, basic question that every coach that comes to the Dallas Cowboys gets asked maybe every week. But can you just ask it without being mad and crazy at us like we don't know what we're doing? We're just asking a question. He's really gruff. I mean, he is.
Well, listen, on a few occasions we've interviewed Mike McCarthy.
He's nice in person.
But he's gruff in person.
Yeah,
he's kind of surly.
He doesn't really smile.
My impression of him was surly. The first time we talked to him, the NFL alumni Austin Chapter did their golf tournament at the hills of Lakeway, and
right,
he was there playing in it because his daughter went to Lake Travis. He had a house out at the lake.
It's almost like, why are you wasting my time? What are you bothering me for?
Yeah, he was really gruff. He was
okay, Mike.
Yeah, but I will.
Tractor Mike.
It's funny now to think about because I just remember my first impression was like, ugh. Not, but almost like, wow, he was almost. We were just talking football. I was talking about a golf tournament. We're not like grilling you on things.
Yeah, but he seems like
his personality was very gruff.
He seems like if you're just asking him normal questions about, you know, boy, the sun is shining today. Like, well, what is it shining for? Like, damn.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
the kind of guy he is. So, and it's just his personality. And the media up in Dallas, you know, the media up in Dallas can. They're America's team. They're used to doing certain things.
Right, and there's a lot of outlets because there's a lot of people that love the Cowboys, and so
he's not in Green Bay where a couple reporters ask him questions.
That's
a
national franchise too. I mean, it's as far as national NFL
franchise. Day in and day out.
Yeah, and there's not as much media.
Oh,
you got the Milwaukee media for sure. But maybe are Cowboys fans longing for Jason Garrett? Is that possible?
How are we doing, guys?
Come on, man.
Nobody's longing for that.
They're longing for Jerry Jones to fire the general manager
but also, remember, hire a real football person. That group of babies up there generally go run. They run to Jerry anyway when things aren't right.
That's correct.
So they got their daddy that they run to.
Well, he signs the checks, and he is the general manager, which has always been a problem, and he undercuts his coach's authority. But in this case, it just when you hear players saying, these guys don't know how they're coached, he doesn't know what they're doing.
Well, when NFL players start saying it, that's unusual for them to say.
It is.
It really is.
You cannot like a guy.
Yeah.
You cannot get along with somebody.
They generally don't talk about your coaching.
They were just saying, these guys don't know what they're doing. They don't make in-game adjustments. And then you watch them play, and you're like, you know what? They're kind of right.
They don't do anything. By the way, hey, we as players stink as it is. We need coaching.
I mean, I know they have a ton of injuries. There's no doubt about that. It's ridiculous how many starters are not playing, and including their quarterback and their whole offensive line.
No, I think Jerry Jones is really not playing around when he says he's not really happy.
That defense was bad last year, but it wasn't historically terrible. I mean, this is the worst Cowboys. This defense is on pace to give up almost 600 points in a season. Now, a lot of that's their turnovers on offense, which isn't helping, but we'll ask that question. Is it can Mike McCarthy be one and done? One and done.
I believe so.
In Dallas, really? All right, we'll be back. Pick up those conversations. Should Bucky get chickens for his granddaughter?
No, I can't get the chickens.
No, you can't.
This would just be the joke of not actually giving them, but just dropping them off and running.
Also, being a fact of the day before the top of the hour, we'll hear Dave Aranda, head coach at Baylor, in his own words, his memories of Tom Herman when the two were college football players together at Cal Lutheran College back in the day. That's all coming, part of a busy Buck Off Thursday on B&E. First, though, Craig Way.
The Horns text line is brought to you by Specs. Specs wine, spirits, and finer foods. You're on the way, less to pay, everyday store. Cheers to savings. It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you on a Buck Off Buck on Thursday. Who needs a pat on the back? Who needs a kick in the rear? You decide every Thursday here on the show of the people. Buck on to the Big Ten. Coming back to playing college football this weekend, finally. And I like Scott Frost, the head coach at Nebraska, saying, you know what? I want to beat Ohio State this year, but I'll be rooting for Ohio State in every other game because of the pressure they put on the conference to get back on the football field this year. Safe to say without those two teams, Nebraska and Ohio State, as universities, they wouldn't be playing college football. And there's still a lot of people in that area, Buck, that disagree with the Big Ten coming back to play football, but they are. I'm still wondering on a Buck Off Thursday how that's going to look when the Big Ten's playing football in late December, approaching Christmas. You've lived in that area. I mean, it gets cold.
It's already hateful there now.
It snowed in Illinois like yesterday.
Yeah, it's already hateful there. Are you kidding me? Before Halloween?
But it just, been doing this over 100 years of college football. One of the reasons they try to get done with the season before Thanksgiving is that it's too damn cold afterwards. And these snowflakes, these kind, man, what are they going to do?
Oh, I don't know if I want to go practice today. I don't know. I have a contract agreement that I don't have to do.
Transfer portal.
No, not me. I'm thinking about not going out there to practice.
Cold out here.
Oh, man, it is. And it's cold.
About a guy like,
and it's windy, too.
Yeah.
And it's moist and wet.
Especially if you're like at the losing team and you're not good and you're playing in Madison, Wisconsin in late December. No thanks. But Buck on to the Big Ten. They're coming back.
Champaign, Illinois.
Champagne.
Woof.
Yeesh. Northwestern, right on Lake Michigan. Yikes.
No, it's damp there.
Minnesota with P.J. Fleck and company. Yeah, so they're coming back. That's a good thing. I would also say Buck off to Odell Beckham Jr., your pen pal. Who never wrote you back when you wrote him a handwritten letter?
Still very disappointed in that.
What's he doing? Handing out $2,000 on thousands of dollars to players on the.
Yeah, people said that was fake money. That wasn't real. That was for real.
He was making it rain.
He was in the locker room. It sounded like he was making it rain on the sideline.
He's got a 2-year ban now. He can't go near the program for 2 years.
How about that for your university? I mean, it's interesting, but
handed out cash after these.
I don't know. I'm not trying to say he's smart or not smart. He's got enough cash that he's smart enough to make money. But is he a graduate of LSU? Did he graduate from LSU? Is he really an alum? If you leave and you haven't finished out your degree, does that make
you?
You can still be
a booster.
Still be a booster?
Well, this all stems from
National championship game, right?
Well, for him, yes. But the bigger picture, that the LSU's trying to self-report on themselves and trying to get ahead of the NCAA on this. But there was a guy, his name was John Paul Funes, F-U-N-E-S, and he was the chief fundraiser for Our Lady of the Lake Hospitals. And he was caught embezzling nearly $800,000 from the nonprofit arm of the hospital. And then he was turning around and funneling that money to LSU parents of LSU players over a pretty long period, including the investigation found that he paid a former LSU lineman, Vidal Alexander's father, almost $200,000 to work at a no-show job.
Love that name, Vidal. Yeah. Nice, very nice name.
Thank you, Vidal.
Vidal. Hello, Vidal.
But yeah, so the NCAA, what do you mean, they cheat in the SEC? What? Wait a second, time out. We'd actually steal, think about that, you're stealing from the hospital to give money to
from
college
the kids,
football
from the children's
players.
Hospital.
What in the world? Where are we at in society?
They love
today?
Their football.
It's garbage.
It's garbage. It's terrible.
Yeah. So that's the main.
But yes,
that's
they
the
also
main
uncovered that this is their own internal investigation, by the way. The NCAA will have their own.
Oh, yeah, they'll have more to say.
Yeah. And they still, you know, that college basketball coach is still coaching there, the one that's on tape offering money.
You know, like what,
on our friend.
We need to get that back. We need to find that tape out again. By the way, Eddie O got his national championship. It's like a college degree.
Orgeron?
They can never take that away from you,
no,
Eddie.
No.
It's all good. No, he's like, it's good.
You can't. But, yeah, so now Odell Beckham, in their investigation, he was handing out wads of cash to players. Like thousands of dollars. Like, not like 20s. Like, here, good job, national
champ. It wasn't
champ.
About them. That was all about him, that whole scene. That's,
oh, that was all
that's
about him.
That's too bad.
Yes, that's right. And now he's got a band. But it's a bigger picture. He's the headline story, the headline maker, because
yeah.
He plays with Baker, the touchdown maker, who's about to get benched in Cleveland. He said it's just one bad game. One bad game.
That's all.
I don't know, man.
What are they, 4-2?
They're 4-2.
Yeah, one bad game. Baker will be back, making money for us all.
Problem for Cleveland, though, they play in that division with Baltimore and Pittsburgh, who are both really good. And well, this is kind of his banker break year.
It is, for sure.
If he doesn't, and he played terrible. He got benched against the Steelers and, you know, showed once again, if you pressure Baker Mayfield, get in his face, which the Steelers do better than anybody, he will throw it to you.
And he'll flush to the right.
And he'll make messes of things.
Yes, he will. He'll flush.
And so, you know, he's not. Some are arguing that he is the issue with their offense. It's not third coach, new players, still Baker an issue. Let's get to your B&E fact of the day.
B&E fact of the day brought to you by Dr. S. Brent Brotzman, an orthopedic surgeon providing personalized, empathetic, and cutting-edge care to all athletes from the recreational to the elite. BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com.
Corey Seager hit a home run last night in the World Series. It's his seventh home run this postseason. He's one behind the all-time mark held by three players. Can you name the three players who have hit eight home runs in a single postseason? We'll get you that answer. That'll be your B&E fact of the day on the other side, plus your headlines. We'll also hit your coach's corner. Dave Aranda weighs in on his friend Tom Herman. Played together in college. In his own words, the Baylor head coach talks about his first meeting with Tom Herman. Coming back.